Well, I desire your prayers. Last year, sometime in the fall, I was in Guthrie, Oklahoma, and I turned the radio on one morning, about 10 o'clock, to see what the news was, see what the weather was, and there was a little broadcast on there, and the man says, we'll go to our reporter in the field type thing and talked to their guy in on the OU campus or OU field in Norman, and they was talking about the game that was going to be played. And he says, "What does it look like down there at the field?" The man reports back, said it's already a sea of whatever OU's colors are. It's just a sea of that color. Said there is hundreds of people in the area pulling in. Traffic's congested, those kind of things. And they went on with their little conversation about that, I thought, well, they're going to have a kickoff here in a little bit, and people's getting in there is what my mind was. Well, they talked about it a little bit, and then the guy went on and said, okay, well, said we'll talk to you later, that kind of stuff. And then he said, stay tuned, said we'll be here all day, that kind of thing. We'll kick off, we'll be at 6 o'clock this evening. They was kicking off at 6 o'clock. At 10 o'clock in the morning, there was already a sea of people with their colors on, OU colors, getting there. They was tailgating. They was getting ready to get in line. They was anticipating. They were excited to get there, to be there. Not a few, but hundreds of people. Traffic jams. Now, wouldn't you like to see that for the Lord? Could you imagine, we're gonna have service. We do it every Sunday. We have service every Sunday. Imagine pulling in down there about 8 o'clock in the morning. People having breakfast down there outside the door. We're ready to go. We're getting primed up to get to what the Lord's got for us. Excited about it. Could you imagine? A man I know out there in the area told me, he said, you ought to one time in your life, you ought to one time go to one of the big OU football games. Said, I know you don't do it, but you ought to do it because you will never experience anything like that. He said the electricity in that place is just outstanding. He said the emotions and the passions and the electricity that's in the place, said you'll never experience anything like that in your life. I'd like to talk to us today a little bit about passion. There's all kind of passion. The world has this passion for things, for events, for football games. There's people that's passionate about bicycling. There's people that's passionate about fishing. There's people that's passionate about art there's people that's passionate about communicating the internet. There's people that's passionate about video games. Passionate. Stand in line for them. That will give their heart to them. That will do all kind of manner of things. Passion, folks, passion's not bad. It needs directed. We need passion. You know, the church of God is to be run by want to, not by have to. Well, I've got to go to service today. That's a poor way to go. We want to go because we want to go. I do want to do because I want to do it. Go wherever I want to. The old song says, go. And I do want to please. Well, there's no rules on that when you're wanting to please God. No rules on that when I go where I want to go for in the name of the Lord. Because God's passionate about it and want to do it. I tell you, folks, I really believe today, and I include me into it, I think the way of life right now, it brings a certain lethargy to our life. It brings a certain dullness of our passions if we're not careful. But I know that this thing was built on passion. And God wants His people to be passionate about the things of God. That people look and say they're passionate. It's hard to convince somebody of something if you just hazard about it. Oh, you come up to invite somebody. Oh, maybe you want to come service with me. Well, maybe I wouldn't. I mean, maybe one of the problems is that there's not any passion about it. Can you imagine 50,000 people in the OU stadium and all of them just, this afternoon is kind of sleepy today. Nobody's in there sleeping. They're all excited about what they're doing. Now, I don't believe in what they're doing. I don't think it gives them anything but a rush at the time. It don't help them in life. It don't help them with their families. It don't help them with their relationships. It really don't do anything but give them a fleshly thrill. But they're excited about it. There's something that draws other people about it. They know what it's about. Lord, help us today, because we have something that's worth more than all of it. We have a cause that's better than any of it. There's something valuable about it. And we need to have a passion. A real passion. Because you know what rules do? If you followed the rules, all you'd have is the rules. Passion will make you go beyond the rules. Passion will make you do something beyond that. Now, I didn't get to hear about it, but I heard they was going to do it, that the president was going to give this man, his last name was Carpenter, I remember that, and he was going to award him the highest military honor. I believe it's the Congressional Medal of Honor, and it was made in a way to giving some recognition to people. Most of the people that got it, their family received it, because in the process of them, their duties, they went above and beyond their duty. It was not expected. You didn't expect a man to have to do what these men would do. But some of these men were so passionate about what they was doing that they would go beyond what was required of them. You may say, well, you don't have to go beyond. We don't expect you to run into the face of a machine gun. We don't expect you to die at the time. This man, there was a grenade or explosive device thrown, and this man, in order to save his companion, he threw himself against that, and it exploded. He lost an eye. He had brain damage, physical damage of all sorts. He lived through that. But that's going to be, nobody expects you to do that in the line of your duty. But passion will cause you to do it. Love will cause you to do it. It'll make you to want to do that. You don't just say, Lord, what can I get by with? What's the easiest route for me to go through life with? What's the easiest way for me to go to service? What's the saints going to accept of me? What do I do to minimize myself, kind of get a relationship with the world a little bit too, but yet be saved? What can I do to do that? You know, passion will cause you to throw those kind of things away and say, Lord, what can I do to please You? What can I do to please You? Let me just tell you as a minister, and I hope you all will accept this just this way. Know that there's no real purpose on my part here, but I do travel around a lot and hold meetings and go to meetings. And as far as our congregations go, spatial singing is almost gone. I can hold a week's meeting sometime and maybe one spatial song the whole time. Now, my point is just this. I don't think it'd be worth any while for me to start beating on you. But if I can get you to get some passion, you don't have to be the greatest singer. But if you got passion, you get some passion about you, you'll go beyond what even is you have to do to be saved. You don't have to come sing songs, as far as I know, to be saved. But you'll go beyond that. And so, well, it's a little humiliating. One guy told me one time, I said, you got to you got a good voice. You ought to sing specials. And he said, I would, but nobody would sing with me. And I said, well, what do I do? I don't know who's holding my hand up here. I don't have something. Brother Bob, would you mind reading this for me? Why? Don't I have to do it yourself? It's the passion that works. It's the passion. It's the desire. Now, the word passion means, if you can get a hold of this, it means to be impressed. It means what we gain by influenced by an impression. It actually, literally, it means to indent into or to impress in. Something that impresses into. It means agitation or a stirring of the mind. As desire, fear, hope, joy, grief, love, or hatred. But it's something that stirs us to something. A passion that stirs us. People can become passionate in hatred, but they don't just stay there. It's passionate. You can see it. It's alive. It's fiery. It's love. They want to do something in that hatred. They want to blow somebody up. They want to kill somebody. They want to tear something. They want to do something because passion works that way. This gospel was made by passion. It was presented to us by passion. People that have it have had passion down through the year. You don't give your life for something that you're not passionate about. Jesus has impressed on me. He has impressed on me. I'm influenced by the impression upon me that I want to see the name of Jesus. He loved me when I was a sinner. He saved me from a terrible life. I am convinced. Oh, I didn't even know what was ahead of me. I was living a terrible life. But He saved me of much terror. The impression upon that makes me passionate towards Him. I love the Lord because He did it. And because of that impression, it makes me want to do things that the body don't want to feel like doing. But yet there's a drive in there to say, I want to do that. I'm impressed by something that drives me to things to do that maybe I don't necessarily have to do. But God impresses me to do that. God wants to impress you. Salvation can be presented as some kind of a awful, grueling, unappetizing, no fun. You can't have fun if you're saved. I disagree with you. With passion, you enjoy all of it. The songs are good. The services are good. But it takes passion. It takes passion. I want to start with a verse in a little bit in Hebrews. The 11th chapter of Hebrews talks about people of faith. All these different people of faith, they were also people of passion. I want to look at the 11 and 34. It says, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Who are these people? Why would there be a person? It said that these people were tortured and wouldn't accept deliverance. Or they wouldn't cut it short. They wouldn't step out of it. But they remained in it. You know, all down through the history of Christianity, there have been people so passionate that they would willingly come and give their life for the cause of the gospel. They would step right up to it. It's told in history that Peter, the Apostle Peter, he's the one that denied the Lord, along with the other ones. This was the one that was always speaking out, those kind of things. But you know, if the history says that Peter, when it come down to the end of his days, that he was crucified upside down. He asked to be. Because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified like the Lord was. He asked them if they would turn him upside down. So they hung him upside down and crucified him that way. That's what history says about Peter. But why? Why? What drove a man? What caused a man to do something like that? Passion. Passion. Lord, I got a moment left. Lord, I got a moment. I've endeavored to live for you. I've endeavored to be faithful. But I failed you. I remember when I failed you. I remember when I turned away. I remember when I denied you. Lord, that's one last moment of my life. I want to give my last moment to prove to you that I mean it. I mean to serve you. I mean it all the time. Lord, I want them to crucify me upside down. I want to prove to you that I really mean it. That's passion. Why do you want to do? We if we're not careful, we want to live in a way that's just give me the bare necessities of this thing. Because I want to enjoy all these other things. But I want to tell you, people with passion don't feel that way about it. People that really care about it want to do it. Do you know those OU fans? I hope I ain't getting on any OU fans. But there's a lot of OU fans. I know people in Oklahoma are passionate about their sports. They talk it. They have flags. They have caps. They paint their vehicles like that. They show what's important in their life because of the passion that they have. This says that we're tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. That they might have a better resurrection. In other words, what they're trying to say is that they'll have a clearer testimony. That the testimony of their life will be clearer. I'm not going to accept the deliverance that I can have here, but I'm going to give a good, clear testimony that God was in my life. That I cared about God. You know, we can say to our family, friends, we can say, the Lord's real. Oh, they may not believe it. We're living a skeptical time. But we say the Lord's real, then act like in all of our life He's not. But you present that with passion. Oh, the Lord helps us. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord's my strength. The Lord answers my prayer. The Lord did this one. The Lord done that. In all my life that is centered around that, it's the Lord. You know, I don't have a problem at all. I actually like presenting myself in a way that people know that I'm a Christian. I don't try to hide from it. I don't want to hide from it. I want them to know. I like walking around with my wife because she's a little more obvious than I am. People know that my family's a religious family. I want them to know more than religion, but that's what I can give them. I want them to know that I am a follower of Jesus. That's my passion. That's what I want them to know. It delivered me and it'll deliver them. We go to the stores, people will come up to me. Many, many times people come up to me and say, what church do you go to? I never told them I went to church. I want them to know that by observation. I want them to be able to see that. And I'm careful. I want to be careful that people realize that I care for something. I care about something. And that's why I don't wear a baseball team's name across here. I'm not promoting that. And I don't want to have to wear Jesus across here. I want my life to say it. Because I've got a passionate for I'm passionate for what He done. I'm passionate for the kingdom. I want God's kingdom. But these people wouldn't even accept, they went beyond it. Deliverance, maybe they could have stepped out of it, but they wouldn't step out of it. And if you look at the history of the people of God, you'll find out that they were passionate about it. Look at another scripture in Matthew 27th chapter of Matthew. Oh, see, I'm going to just read. This is the crucifixion of Jesus. 34th verse says, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garment, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. But here was the Lord, hanging on the cross, thirsty. Thirsty. They reach him up a drink. When he tasted the mixture was given to people at that time. It was a concoction that would give some numbing effect to the body. It was mercy. It was mercy to give somebody in such suffering this concoction that would numb down the pain of it. But when the Lord tasted it, he wouldn't drink it. But why? Why wouldn't he drink it? You know, Jesus didn't have to die for us. He wanted to. He didn't have to suffer for us. He wanted to. This was proof that the Lord wanted to suffer. He wasn't going to cheapen our salvation by taking that and numbing it. He was going to drink the full cup of what the suffering would be. So he would not take anything to numb that. Oh Lord, help us. Help us to have passion. With passion he bought salvation for us. With an impression of our suffering on him, our sins upon him. It moved him when he looked at this poor creation that was lost and undone and no hope. The impression put a passion on him. It put a need there that the Lord went beyond the call of duty. He went beyond all of it. And when he could have numbed it down a little, he said, no, I won't number it down. I'm going to suffer the full cup here. I'm going to drink it all that we can be fully saved. Passion bought it. And Lord, help us to have the same passion, because if we're not careful, in the midst of God working in our lives, the Lord comes along and starts to work in our lives, doing something that's going to make us better, going to make us better Christians, going to give us more anointing on our life, going to make a more blessing in our congregation, and the Lord comes and starts working. If we're not careful, we step out of it. We won't allow the full thing to happen. Lord, help us to have passion for what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Lord, work in my life. Help me to receive what you want me to do, to have, because I want to be like you. I'm not like him. But he can make me like him. I naturally am not. But the Lord wants to make me that way. How is he going to do it? He's going to make circumstances in life. I began one time to pray, Lord, I want to be more like you. I'm going to tell you, if you're willing to pray that, the Lord's willing to do it, but he's not going to do it the way you think. Because I prayed, Lord, I want to be more like you. You know, lightning and thunder. Instantaneous change of life that I'm like Christ. Well, that's not the Lord's methods. So I'm praying, Lord, I want to be more like you. And that would have been my prayer for that week. I want to be more like you. Help me to be like you. Well, we'd come back from a trip. We was up in Pennsylvania for the weekend doing a little ministering. Come back, and when I pull back into my driveway, my neighbor comes across the street, and boy, he gets on me. He's really letting me have it over some stuff. Well, what the stuff was is that I had a fence around my whole yard and house, and you to get into it, it was gates, and I was completely fenced around. And his dog was getting into my yard, whether digging under it or jumping over it, but he was getting into my yard and getting some trash and stuff and taking it back out and taking it over into that guy's yard. That was a little hard to swallow right there at the time, that I'm the bad guy. And, well, I like to hunt, and I killed some deer, and there was some deer bones that I left for my dog, and his dog got in and got them bones and took them back over in his yard, and he was upset that the bones that I had over there was in his yard. So he's getting on to me for that. And I'm sitting there, and I take a pretty good bit of it, and told you, I take care of it. But I went over to my house, and I start thinking. Anytime they asked me to do anything, and his elderly grandmother was there, and she would ask me quite often, work on her furnace or rake the leaves or get a limb out of the yard, and I never hesitated to help her. I always helped her. And so I'm there, and it bothered me. Because I would be willing to clean his yard up for him. I mean, I've always been willing to help and do that. And so I'm there and I start telling the Lord, Lord, here I was doing nothing but good. And he made me out to be bad. And brought this on me. And the Lord said, that's what they done to me. The Lord come to do nothing but good. And they made a criminal out of him. And he said, impression on my heart, you said you wanted to be more like me. And I've given you the opportunity to be more like me. You know what being more like Christ might mean in your life? It might mean that you have to be like him. I mean, there was a time that people said, yeah, I want to be like Jesus. Wouldn't that be really cool to be able to turn water into wine and feed 5,000? Wouldn't it be cool to do all these miracles? Lay your hands on somebody and they recover. I want to be like Jesus. That's not what being like Jesus is really about. Being like Jesus is when your neighbor reproaches you and you make evil of you. And you suffer that the way Jesus did. That's being like Jesus. You know what it takes to do that? Passion. Lord, help me to be passionate like you were. Why? Because I've got to know what the end is. Jesus did too. What was his purpose? What was the passion? Why did he put up with the hands of sinful men on him? That he might save them. The passion of the kingdom was on him. So it is with us too. When we have a passion of the kingdom now, I can take some reproach. Why? Because they're going to get them to the kingdom. So then I might show, maybe it's not about them, but maybe it's somebody else that's watching, that's saying, I see something there. That's what the passion's working for, that we might bring something to the kingdom. The Lord will say, I want to be like Jesus. The Lord gave me the opportunity to feel what he felt. To be done like he was done. You know, I come away from that incident there saying, thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to taste of what it's like to be like you. I'm going to tell you, that was a rough time in my life, though. That was tough to conquer that. But I'm thankful that the Lord showed me because I got to taste a little bit of what it was like for the Lord who come down with pure purpose to do good. And yet that good was turned around on him and made him out to be the criminal and the enemy. And yet he bore that for our salvation. I thank God for the opportunity to be able to do it. But I want to have passion. I want to have the impression of God that I don't lose it. I know that it's possible for me to lose my salvation. It is for you too. It's possible for you not to have this. What's going to keep it? Keep my passion. Lord, help. There's times that it burns low. There's times that it goes down. Lord, kindle it back up. Help us that it's a free flow. And now I got a passion to pray. At our place, Lord help us, I maybe shouldn't even say it, but at our place, there's almost like this unwritten or unsaid thing that if I'm there and it comes time to pray, I got to pray. I'm going to pray. Or I'm going to wait a long, 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 long time because, and I so long for there to be a passion of pray, people to pray. A passion, people that got there early to do it, or people that come with the Lord, if you'll make a way for me, I'll pray. Lord, I got a song that I woke up this morning with. I got a song on my heart and it burns and I know what it means. And I want to be able to express that to the congregation because I know what that song means. I know the encouragement it gave me. I know the power that it gave me in my life. And I want to express that. It's not just about, well, time for a service. Maybe we ought to have a song. So, no, there's a passion involved in it. A desire to do it. That the Lord wants us to have. And the Lord comes along and says, I want you to speak to them about their soul. And you say, oh, no, yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Passion. I've been waiting to do it. I've been wanting to do it. Folks, I'm going to tell you, salvation is absolutely better than any roller coaster ride. If you've got passion. I'm going to tell you some experiences of mine. I was in prayer one day. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Have you got something for me to do? And while I'm down at prayer, the phone rings. And this brother up in Indiana calls me and says, and I held a meeting there some years before, and he calls me and says, I was just wondering, could you come up and be with the congregation up here? I've got to go do something this weekend. There's nobody here. Would you come up? And I said, I was just in prayer. So I don't have to pray. The answer is yes. This is an answer of prayer. You know, that enthused me. It's enthusiasm. God was working. So I got in my car and I'm going up there. It's quite a drive. So I get to saying, Lord, do you have anybody? Is there any hitchhikers? Is there anybody? It's a long ways up there. I'd like to ride with somebody. Is you got anybody? Anybody along the way? And I'm praying, you know, and just now I see a figure out on the road. And this impression comes to me. Here's your ride. There was a homeless guy. He spent the night under a bridge. 20 degrees. He's under a bridge. There's the guy. I stop and pick him up. Driving along. I said, you had anything to eat? Oh, he said, I don't even remember the last time. I stopped and got him some stuff. He didn't have any teeth. Not at all. So he had to break it like this. Yeah, and put it in his mouth. He couldn't bite it in two. I got him a couple of Whoppers, two for $2 or something back in or something. But you know what? The Lord was in that. I felt the Lord in there. I went to praying for him as we talked, and I tried to understand him, an old Vietnam vet that had so much stuff happen in his life that we'll probably never understand. I got to talking to him. I'm going to tell you what happened in this. It just so enthused me. This was when I was courting, before Linda and I was marrying, and we was on the phone a lot of times, and we would pray, and one of her burdens that she kind of got me involved in was praying for the homeless people. We've been praying for them for quite a while. And when I went to let this guy out finally, he said he was going to Florida, but I never could figure that out because I was going to Indiana. I mean, from my house, it's not quite. But the car was warm. So where he wanted to make it, when I said, he said, maybe I'll go on with you. So we drove on. Finally, he says, I want out up there at a truck stop. So I pulled in and told him, I said, we'll be praying for you or whatever. Oh, I didn't. I know. I didn't say be praying for you at the time. He said. He looked at me as he got out, and he said, "The last words." He said, "Thank you for praying for me." And as he walked away, "Thank you for praying for me." I never told him I was praying or had a burden or anything like that. And he, as he walks away, "Thank you for praying for me." You know, we've been praying for the homeless, and something just touched me and overwhelmed me. I'm going to tell you, living for God is real. God will make Himself real to us. But when we fill our lives with all kind of other things and desires and ways, we miss what He's doing. It takes passion to really see God. It takes a passion for what He's doing. You say, I'm going to just tell you another experience. Folks, listen, if I was to try right here without the Lord, if I was to try to sing a song to you right now, I really don't have much musical ability at all, or singing ability. But we had an old woman at our place. It was Sister
Avis Tinsley. And she was bedfast, had been bedfast for many years. And when I started ministering, the other ministers that had been there, Brother Sammons, Brother Tony and all, they would go up to see her in the middle of the night. She'd have these breathing spells and on, and they would go up there and they would sing to her. Well, when it come my time, I wanted to work for the Lord. So I said, well, if Sister Tinsley needs prayer every day, she can call me. Well, she would call. She called me, and she called me up there, and I had prayer for her. And she said, Brother Marty, would you sing to me? And I said, Sister Tinsley, you don't know what you're asking for. She said, well, Brother Salmon prays or sings with me, and Brother Tony sings with me when he comes. And I said, if you can take it, I can sing it. But I'm going to tell you something. I didn't know that I could sing like that. The Lord blessed me divinely. I started singing songs and I could sing them. And I never really could. But I did there. And you know what that says to me? God wanted me to do it. And He was pleased with it. And it works that way. And we miss all those experiences. You'll miss the experience of seeing God's divine hand in you saying, it wasn't me. It was God done it. You think of the apostles accomplished everything. And Paul saying, what was the guy? The sorcerer, and he blinded it and all that. That wasn't them men doing that. That was God. Peter walks by and his shadow heals me. That wasn't Peter. That was God doing that. It was men with passion that went forth into the world with passion and desire that the Lord had impressed on them. And they went on and God showed Himself strong over and over again in their life. You can see God. You can have God work in your life. You'll see things that you'll never thought you could do. You'll see advantage or accomplishments of things that you never dreamed possible when God's working. Let me look at another scripture. Oh, let's see. Let's look over in Acts 5. Acts 5. Oh, I'm just going to go back a little bit to pick up the thought. We'll try 37. 5 and 37 of Acts. After this man rose up, Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot not overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So here's the scene. They're making a disturbance with their preaching of Christ. And they get them and don't know what to do with them. And well, wise head said, there have been many people rose up and claimed that they was the Messiah had come and those kind of things. And they all come to naught, and they will too, unless God's with them. And if you're fighting against them, why don't you just let them go? They'll come to naught by themselves. But if God's with them, you're fighting against God. So they agreed with that. Sounded good. Agreed with them. So they beat them. Well, let's just give them a good whoop and send them on them way and tell them to stop. But that didn't deter them. They were rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. They're a good whooping. And they're sitting happy about it. Now how are you going to destroy somebody like that? What can the devil do with somebody that's going to take a whooping and thank God for it? Thank the Lord. I was counted worthy of Jesus to put me in a place for me to stand faithful and true to Him. Jesus counted on me. The song said He counted on
Adam and he counted on Cain. He counted on them. It was all the same. Now he's counting on you. And Paul says, he counted on me and he blessed me with grace and I was able to perform it. That's passion. That's passion. Now, if he can do that, then the next time the Lord says, I want you to go somewhere, and he says, well, I might get a whooping for that. Let's go. Let's go, because it's pain, but it's there's blessings with it. The Christian people that love God with all their heart. It's the passion. It's our passion to fulfill God's will. It's our passion in 2014. God needs people with passion still. Not a lazy, lethargic church, but people with passion that looks into the face of this modern age and says, I'd rather have Christ than the gifts, all the gadgets. I'd rather have Christ than all the doings in the face of this great entertaining world, this sports world, all these worlds. I'd rather have Christ. I'd rather have Christ. I'm going to prove I'd rather have Christ than all of them. Because that's where my passion's really at. It's in Christ. So a whooping. What else did Paul say? You remember where Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh? So he prayed, as naturally we would, to get rid of the thorn. But the Lord come to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. In your weakness, my strength is made perfect. And Paul says, oh, hallelujah. Because now I see it. I see it, and I will gladly, therefore, suffer these things. Because when I'm weak, then am I strong in Christ, and I can see the strength of Christ, and that's my passion. My passion is that I be strong in Christ. So they take a whooping, and they suffer shame. Oh, that we would be willing to suffer for the name of Christ. That we would be willing. Now, you know, there's arguments from time to time, and there's debates of I've been involved in them myself. What should you do here, or how should this, or how long should this be, or how short should this be, or how shiny should this be, or what should this be, or all those kind of things. Can I give you a solution to the problem? It's called passion. Loving God with all your heart. Willing to do what the Lord wants you to do. Willing to be in this world whatever the Lord wants you to be. Then there's no, oh, I've just assumed. That's what Paul had in his mind. He said of eating meat, he said, I wouldn't do it again as long as the world stands. If it offends his brother, passion for God. My brother's worth more than the meat. I'll live here in this world a time and I'll be gone. But if he can be saved eternally, I'd rather have that. That's passion. That's passion. I think I'll just set my feet down suddenly and stand right where I'm at and hold my own ideas and own ways, and you'll have to just accept it. No, no. Passion for Christ will say, I'll do whatever it takes. So just give, let me know, Lord. Give me the heart and mind for it. Another scripture in Philippians. Philippians 1. For unto you, this is 29th verse, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. You know, that was more successful than you would think. Now, what would it be an advertising scheme to come up and say, come on in, we want you in here, and when you come in here, you're going to suffer. Well, I'd be willing to say you wouldn't get many people passing through the door back there if that's what you was trying to sell. But you know, with passion, what does the suffering do? They that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Suffering? Do you know in the early days, and you can read about this at different sources, but in the early days of Christianity, Christianity grew at a rate and they could not stamp it out by force. And they watched the ones dying by force. They watched the ones that was being martyred. And it grew in the middle of martyrdom. What was they presenting? They was presenting something that was so dynamic, so powerful, so real in the hearts of men that they was willing to suffer to get it. I'll take that at any price. Oh, think of those that did it with passion. Don't you love? I'm not impressed. I'm going to tell you, I'm not impressed with laziness. Are you? I went to a guy's house one day, middle of the day. Went to the house and knocked on the door. And he got out of bed, just come to the door in his underclothes, and I wasn't impressed. That's not impressive to me. But I'm impressed with passion, diligence. We went to Florida. Well, I like telling this story. I'll probably tell it as long as I can remember it, and the Lord give me a mind for it. We went to Florida one time, and there was a case down there where brother and sister Baxter's daughters, they was little girls. They was playing along the canal edge at their older sister's house. That canal's like 30 feet deep that goes through there, and it has a big high bank, and those little girls, neither one of them could swim, and one of the little girls fell off of that bank in the canal. And the other sister, that couldn't swim either, jumped and went in after her. And neither one of them could swim. So the other children are hollering for help. And there's a neighbor man there. He comes and dives in, brings one little girl out, goes back down in, and he didn't get the other girl. And he lost his life too. The one little girl he got out was rushed to the hospital, and she was revived, and she's alive today. The other two, the little girl and this man, died. And when they told me the story, I said, I just about guarantee you that man had children. You know, when they told him, they said that he had 5 children of his own. But he had something more. He went beyond the call. Did he have to? What made him do it? What made him do it? He died. He left his family. He died in the process. He tried with all of his heart to do it. He stayed down too long and he died down there trying to save a little girl. What made him do that? Passion. Something in him made him to have to do it. Passion. Don't you love passion? Don't you love Caleb saying? Wasn't that passionate when he said, "Give me that mountain. Give me up there. That was promised to me. And with passion I'll fight for it. With passion I want that." You know what? That's what God always wanted His people to do. He showed them His mighty hands, brought them out of Egypt, brought them all the way to the banks of the Jordan and ready to go into Canaan. And they stood there and their passion dwindled on them. No passion. You said you're going to give us something, Lord, and now we look over there and you didn't give it to us. He said, "I'm going to give it to you, but you know it's going to take faith and passion to go get it. You're going to have to go and get that." There were cities over there that they didn't build, and there was vineyards they didn't plant, and the Lord had promised them all that, but He didn't say they weren't going to have to fight for it, give something for it. Passion moves us, makes us want to fight for it. This is worth having. We passionately fight for it. When we see our children's lost, we passionately praying. We're passionately fighting. Or are we? When we see the lost world around us, hundreds and thousands of people dying daily, going to hell, are we moved? Passion. Passion looks at our world that's quickly becoming so immoral, so corrupt. We have a part. We live in it. What's our passion? Sometimes I think we don't have enough passion to even see what God's passion is. You know, when the planes hit the World Trade Centers, it stirred passion. There was an impression that made people do things. At that time, people was really ridiculing the president's Christianity. He was a prayer. They openly was saying that every morning they would have a little prayer service, a little prayer meeting. He would. And they was ridiculing that. And I ain't saying how he lived his life, I don't know. But I'm going to say this. There was a widespread ridiculing of that until that day happened. And then they was willing to accept prayer on the Capitol steps. The same people that didn't. Because there's things moves people. I was out in the field in the tent working. I'm going to tell you, it was a good time to be out there because people's minds, something, it was an aggravation of the mind, a stirring of the mind.
that caused people to know they had needs. I'm impressed, always been impressed with passion. If you want to be good at anything, secular things, you want to be good at ball, be passionate. It's just true. You want to be a good athlete? Be a passionate one. You'll get the most out of it. You want to be a good writer? Be a passionate one. You want to be a good singer? Be a passionate one. You want to be a good Christian? Be a passionate one. Be impressed with God. Then it'll move you into the areas. Pray for your passion when it goes down. Keep your heat gone, your fire gone. It's passion that works it. And you look about through all through the Bible and find those that were successful. And one thing they had was passion. It was the most meaningful thing in their life. And the ones that wasn't successful wasn't passionate. And when the ones that was successful wasn't passionate, they wasn't successful. David was very passionate. David was very passionate for the Lord. But he got to a place that he got lazy. 11th chapter, what is it? 2 Kings? Anyway, he says, when the time came for the kings to have been at war, David was tarried at his house. That's not passion. And in the evening time, he rose off his bed. Get up in the mornings. Wash your face. Stir around. He's in his bed in the evening. Says he's lazy. Something's happening, David. And he gets up and he's in a temptation of his life. And he fails it. You know what failed him first? His passion. His passion for God failed him first. And then, the temptation was bigger than him. Read the 51st Psalm and see how David's passion was rekindled and how he wanted to be back in the favor of the Lord, and it's passionate. Lord, restore me. Lord, I've sinned against you and you alone. Lord, my sin is always before my face. Passion reigned all through that. He was very passionate. Lord, help us. Caleb said, give me that mountain. There was a time when the Apostle Paul, who was called to the Gentiles, came to the point that he was going to work with his own people. He was going to Jerusalem. And a prophet came. You remember when the prophet came and bound himself and said, you go, you'll be bound like this? Oh, but Paul was passionate. He was passionate. He didn't shrink back from that. He said in another place, I know that bonds and afflictions await me in every city. But he went to every city anyway. And now in this situation, he says, I'm not only willing to be bound, but I'm willing to die for the gospel. I'm willing to give my life for my people. I'm willing to have passion, a real force of passion in my life. I'm going to tell you, folks, if you're not passionate about the Lord, you need to be passionate about the Lord. Let everything take a second place. Be passionate about the Lord. That is the power, I believe, of our life, to be passionate. It doesn't give you wisdom, okay? It don't make you smarter. It don't make you bigger. It's just a force that allows God something to work with, a passion. It's so hard. Now, I know, Brother Donnie's a teacher, and maybe different ones a teacher. But get somebody that's enthused. Is it easy, Brother Donnie? Get somebody that's not enthused. Is it easy? It's terrible. Because I was the unenthused one in school. I was the guy, I did not want to be there. I didn't want to be in the classroom. I wanted to be outside. I wanted to be doing to me. It was a colossal waste of everything to be in there. And it was tough to learn. It was just tough to learn. I didn't care to. I didn't want to. But you find somebody that wants to, there's no holding them back. Because they have a passion. A passion to achieve it. And again, in closing, people are passionate about all kinds of things. You can be passionate politically. People that are politically passionate go a long ways in politics. People that are capable athletically, with passion, they do accomplish a lot of things. People that want to learn certain skills and jobs will generally accomplish those kind of things if they're passionate about their work. I have a mechanic at home. He don't charge near as much as anybody else does. He is a great mechanic. He's got all the tools in the world. I love having him there. And the reason why he does what he does, by the time he was young, he was rebuilding cars. You know what that guy does when he's not mechanicking? He's mechanicking. I mean, when he's not mechanicking for a job, he mechanics his own. He's got cars he wants to build. He's cars he wants to test. You go talk to him. He enters these pulling contests. He builds cars. He drives cars. You talk to him. You won't talk to him very long about the weather. You won't talk to him about world conditions. You'll talk mechanics. You'll talk cars. You'll talk gear ratios, engine sizes, fuel injections. Because he has a passion for it. And it don't take any great brain to say, this guy's passionate. This guy loves doing what he's doing. You want to be a successful Christian today? Love what you're doing. You want this to be a hard thing to get through? Now, everybody's services may tend toward dryness sometimes. And without passion, it's dry as dust. Without passion, I was in service one day, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't know it at the time, but I went into service, minister got up and preached, and I was just, oh my, this is so dry. No anointing, no blessing on it. Just dry. And when it was over, dear old brother Jim White got up and said, I thank God for this good message. And he started relating what the Lord had said and all that. And I was sitting there arguing in my mind with him saying, he did not. He never said that. I sat here and listened to this whole grueling thing. And he didn't say a thing. Like, you know what I ended up finding out? It wasn't him that was dry. It was me. It was me that was dry. Brother Jim got a full plate full and I got nothing. It's because I was dry and I didn't have passion. There's enough just in a simple scripture to give food to the passionate, the food to the hungry. I'm hungry. Give me something to eat. Lord, I want to hear your word again. I've heard it and 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 heard it. But it's still good when you're passionate about it. The love of my life, the Lord. You can say, I love the Lord, but do you prove it? Do you have passion toward Him? Are you on fire? Well, this is the first meeting, message of camp meeting. It'll be a good camp meeting, folks. It can be a real good camp meeting if we all get passionate about it. There'll be things, you'll receive things you didn't know about. You'll do things you didn't know about. You'll testify. I'm telling you, passion. Lord, help us today. There is nothing worthwhile more than our salvation. Amen.